We start with a few quotes to spark open dialogue and bring us together around some good tunes. Here with today's quotables are Sherry Easter, Devin McLamory, and Brian Hudson.
Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Roundtable of discussion is what we have today, and when I say discussion, I really mean it. I mean, we're breaking out of the mold. We will end up talking about music because, after all, these are musicians, and this is the way they make their living, and the creativity they bring to the table is done in and out and through music, and so we'll get to that. But I've asked these artists to get together from different groups and maybe even from some different circles just to bring some of their favorite quotes, whether it be deep theological quotes or off-the-wall funny stories from the road that you just can't ever forget and get out of your mind. So with that, we have the lovely, the talented Sherry Easter of Jeff and Sherry Easter. We've got Devin McLamory, lead singer for Signature Sound Quartet, and is no longer the rookie, no longer the new guy. And also we have Brian Hudson of Sold Out Quartet. So guys, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
So what I've asked is that we bring some quotes to the table and just sit down and talk about them, because I see, and I've kind of selected you guys and Sherry because I see how you act and interact on Twitter. And there are some people on Facebook and Twitter who just kind of speak their mind without thinking, without a filter. And I don't typically see that with you guys. And that's refreshing, but also that you kind of go in some deep places sometimes and you're thoughtful about your approach. I think that's important too. So Devin, why don't we start with you? And by the way, okay. We cannot tell a lie. You're currently at a gym, right?
I am, man. I'm standing outside the Sumner County YMCA. It is basically my home every morning after I drop my kids off to school. I come here, sweat it out for a couple of hours, and it just helps my day, man. Anybody that knows anything about us knows that we love just staying in shape and sweating and keeping it going, man. So it's just a part of my day. If I don't do it, my wife actually requests that I go out and work out or sweat or something, because I think I'm in a not so good a mood.
That's funny. I'm sure, Devin, this is exactly what you want to be doing at the gym, is talking about deep, profound thoughts and quotes. But go first, just whatever you had in mind, whether it's deep or not, we're ready to listen.
Whether it's deep or not, man, there's so many that come across my mind. I think of old jokes and old things that we tell on stage. And but one of the, you know, I hate to start the whole conversation off with something deep and serious, but that's not the main one that keeps coming to my mind. One of my favorite authors is Pete Wilson. He's also a pastor here in the western side of Nashville, a church called Crosspoint. And I was just reading some of his stuff the other day. He encourages me. Everything he tweets, everything he writes just encourages me. And I heard him say something the other day that people are constantly, you know, arguing about different things in the Bible. And there's things worth arguing and discussing. But then there's things that we just need to leave it alone. And I love what he said. He said, if we could just stop arguing about what Jesus said and just do what he did, this world would be a much better place.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And you guys, all of you, sing to people of different, I won't say faiths, but different denominations, different, that they approach the cross differently, but the important thing is they approach the cross. And so, I mean, Sherry, talk about your background, talk about what Devin just said, maybe, but the different walks of life you experience night after night, and how this is true, how we can sometimes major on those minors.
Well, you know, first of all, I'll say what Jeff says jokingly, but it really does speak volumes. He tells people, Sherry was raised Baptist, I was raised Pentecostal, we're living proof you can get along. And so it's really actually a true thought. But what comes to mind with Devin's quote is how, you know, with Madison, he's a thinker. I love the fact that he's a thinker. And he's got a lot of great Bible questions for me. And sometimes we go round and around about different scriptures or different stories in the Bible. And I can remember one time he was asking me about the literal sense of, you know, Jonah and the whale. And I looked at him and I said, you know, I think you're missing the point if you want to argue the literal sense. I said, because I think the message is that wherever God wants you to go, you're going to get there. So if you're supposed to go to Nineveh, you're going to go to Nineveh. And you know, and that's just the way I look at it. I think at some point we all have to agree to disagree and know that what's important is doing what God wants us to do as individuals.
Exactly.
Brian, I know that you may agree with that, but did you always agree with that quote, or did you, think that there's something that we all have where we kind of got off track, maybe in our childhood, maybe in our college days?
Well, for me, yes, I totally agree with that. I think one of my favorite quotes, I've got a spiritual mentor in Southern Indiana, where I'm originally from. He actually married my wife and myself. His name is Don Hicks, great preacher man. You know, he pastors a small little church in Indiana, but he is so full of godly wisdom. And he was actually talking about Jonah, the story of Jonah, not long ago. And his quote was to me, and it just floored me. He said, the story of Jonah is not really about the fish. The story of Jonah is about God's pursuit. And it was so profound. He said, it wasn't about punishment. All these things happened to Jonah. It was about God's pursuit. And Don is full of quotes like that. And I think, and getting back to kind of what Devin said, yeah, that's one of my pet peeves. If I have a pet peeve in this world, is where we argue and we see things on Twitter or Facebook where people will get on there and they will make a statement. And it'll be a lot of times, it'll be an opinion about something, not necessarily what God said in his word, is about his opinion, and people will get on there and they'll argue and they'll go back and forth with each other. And I'm thinking the whole time, lost people that are on our Facebook or lost people that follow us on Twitter are seeing this. And if they see us arguing over these little bitty things that don't really matter, do you think that's going to encourage them to want to become a Christian like we are? They're going to say, yeah, here they are. These Christians are fighting amongst themselves over something little and small, and that they want me to be a part of that. I think a lot of times our Christian friends who we grew up with or who come to our concerts that are lost, they don't know Christ, they see things like that, and that can be such a discouragement. So I agree with this pastor friend of Devin's. Man, if we just concentrate on the main thing, that's seeing people saved, seeing people won Christ, and being an encouragement to other people, I think God could use us so much more than he's using us now. Because I think a lot of times God's in heaven shaking his head saying, why are y'all fighting about all these little things? You know, it's the main things we need to concentrate on.
Brian Hudson of Sold Out Quartet. Sherry Easter's with us. Devin McLamory. Before Devin joined Signature Sound, he was with this group. Here he is now with Karen Peck and New River, featuring the late Stephen Hill.
Why can't all God's children get along? We can't all be right. We can't all be wrong. We're just different singers in the same old song. Why can't all God's children get along? Black, brown, and white.
listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. That's Karen Peck and New River. Sitting around with us today are Sherry Easter of Jeff and Sherry Easter, Devin McLamory of Ernie Haas and Signature Sound, and Brian Hudson of the Sold Out Quartet, sharing some favorite quotable moments. Sherry, you've been through a lot lately with family issues and your own journey through cancer. And so I can't help but think that maybe some of the quotes that you've brought to us this morning may have come out of that, or something that maybe you see differently now.
Well, you know me well. You know, when you do go through something like that, it's like I was telling an audience this past weekend, if you listen to an artist's album, it usually says a lot about the artist themselves. And yes, my mom's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. This is the 12th year that she's been battling with that. She's completely bedridden at this point. Mm-hmm. And then I'm now, praise God, 4.5 years cancer-free from breast cancer. So that's my praise report. But yeah. There have been some health issues around. And I've got to tell you the quote that immediately when you said, let's talk about quotes, because I love quotes. I'm the one in my family who's always saying, hey, listen to this. This is great. But the quote that has really sustained me through the last 4.5 years is a C.S. Lewis quote. And it says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world.
Wow.
You know, and I love that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we do. We hear that whisper when things are wonderful and there's something pleasuring us. You know, you just feel that whisper of God, almost like his breath, you know. And then we pray a lot of times for wisdom, and we can hear God speak. But, buddy, you want to challenge God. You be at your lowest point. You be so sick that the only thing you have strength to do is open mail or sit and watch television or listen to music and just see how the quiet is filled with his shouts. There were so many times in my life, I can remember as a teenager, praying, you know, God, you know, where's my life going? What career path do I need to choose? Who do I need to date? You know, all of these questions. But it was almost like there was just this vague answer sometimes, you know. But when I was going through breast cancer, I would say, God, which doctor do I need to choose? Oh, okay, thank you. You know, it was almost like just an audible voice. It was he shouted, and I'm so grateful for that, because it was at that time that I needed to hear him shout. Uh-huh. And there were so many situations in my life at that time that I really needed direction, and I really felt that I got it almost instantaneously. What I found out, though, is that God didn't change. Sherry just got quiet enough to listen. So I think that's kind of where I am with that quote. I try to get quiet a little more often these days.
I couldn't help but think that when you were talking about it in that C.S. Lewis quote, Sherry, that, yeah, it sounds like God's shouting, but if his power is made perfect in weakness, maybe it's just I've come to the end of myself to where I've shut up long enough to listen.
There we go.
Devin, you've got, I'm sure your household is a bit noisy at this stage in your life because you've got young kids and whatnot. So do you find that to be true, that sometimes with all of your good intentions and all the good work that you're doing, I mean, spreading the gospel, that sometimes it takes these moments to really get still and know?
It really does, Daniel. Because just kind of what Sherry was just saying, you know, when I'm out playing outside with the kids and everything is just perfect, it feels like heaven on earth when the kids are actually getting along, which doesn't happen as often as I'd like, but when they are getting along, life is just great. And it's just a little, to me, it's just a little touch of heaven. You do hear God's whispering that. But sometimes it takes something, I don't want to say necessarily something wrong to happen, but it's something to where you just have to sit and go, okay, God, I can't do this on my own, so go ahead and tell me what you want. And, you know, I used to travel with Karen Peck and New River, as many of you know, but I used to hear Susan say, all right, God, in this time right now, this tough time, please teach me what you want me to learn so I don't have to go through this again.
Mm-hmm.
That's wise.
Very true.
Classic Jeff and Sherry song right now. Thread of Hope. You're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with Sherry Easter, Devin McLamory, and Brian Hudson.
Needed healing of that dreaded
disease. And her money brought physicians, but only Jesus could bring relief. And though her last thread of hope, it was worn down to a strand, her heart held on to faith till she could touch him with her hand. 'Cause when you're hanging by a thread, still you can climb life's mountain. Though the cliffs are rough and jagged, you can go. So don't let go of that last thread of hope. Is that you hanging on to a frayed and fragile faith? And are you clinging to the rocks above? Reach out for the lifeline. It will never break in two. Hold fast, don't lose heart. For once again, God will pull you through. 'Cause when you're hanging by a thread, still you can climb. If you should slip and reach rope's end, you'll find the hem of his garment. So don't let go of that last thread of hope.
Jeff and Sherry Easter, and we're sitting around with Sherry, Devin McLamory, Brian Hudson. All right, Brian. What do you have? Because now you gave me a preview that you have some off the wall stuff. You want to go there?
I've traveled with some pretty unique individuals in my career, my gospel music career.
Yes, you have.
I've traveled with a guy named George Amon Webster for about 3.5 years, and he'd spent time with the Cathedrals and basically, you know, MC work, a lot of MC work is plagiarism that somebody else said at one time in their life, you know, and so, you know, you've reused those quotes over and over again, and you hear one that just like stuck with you, or you hear, as my wife calls my terrible jokes that I tell on stage that I heard 20 years ago, and I'm just reusing them, you know, but back a few years ago, I was with the Kingsmen. And we were booked to sing at this little bitty church in the middle of nowhere. I know both Devin and Sherry can attest to this, where you get there and you're thinking, there is no church out here. They have led us out here to kill us. There is no church out in the middle of, there's no way. So we got to the venue, and we see this road that's lined with these trees that's going to scratch the side of the bus. And then you got to make at the end of these trees, you got to make a turn and go up this little narrow road to, you know, and the quote was, this preacher comes out, and we've got like a mile to get to the church, and his exact quote was, and I should have contacted Tim Lovelace, because this is about him. He said, and I quote, well, Tim Lovelace didn't have any trouble getting his Hummer up here. And that just floored me. I'm thinking, a Hummer, and we've got a 45-foot bus that we have to get up here. And and there is no bend in the middle of this bus. It's not going to turn in the middle, so you can make this turn. And so his quote was Tim Lovelace didn't have any trouble getting his Hummer up here. And that just stuck with me forever. And I just used that quote over and over again. You know, when we're going down this road and we've got to slow down to a crawl to get down this road, these potholes or turn into this church is, you know, it's barely wide enough to get a car in there, let alone a bus. And I'll bring up that quote. Tim Lovelace didn't have any trouble getting his Hummer up here. You know, so that's
hey, Brian, I'm not even sure what state that was in, but I guarantee you I've sung there.
Yeah.
And you probably did. You probably did.
You know what that reminds me of? Jim's family, the Easter Brothers, about 25 years ago was going to a little church, and to get to the church, you had to cross over this little narrow bridge over this little waterway. And Jeff said literally there were 2 inches on each side of the bus. And somebody had to get out and just guide the bus inch by inch over there. And they kept saying, well, the hoppers have been here, and so-and-so's been here, and so-and-so's been here. So they drove over the bridge, and they finally got it over. And he looked at the guy. He said, are you telling me that the hoppers got their bus across over here? He said, oh, no. The hoppers parked at that parking lot and just brought everything up. You know. So it's all in how you ask the question.
Yeah.
You know, I don't travel in the bus, but I remember being in Iowa, and it reminds me of what Sherry just said. Like, you know, the old stories about bridges and trolls. Well, we had this bridge that was that small of a bridge, but you literally had this guy that was sitting in a little hut, and he was charging you, and he charged you like 25 cents to enter into that county. And, you know, I was nervous to pay him, but I was more nervous not to, you know what I mean? Devin, you've traveled with a number of groups now, and what's that feeling like? I mean, you got to take the gospel, the old timers would say, to the down the highways and byways, and that's your calling, and you don't want to leave anybody out, and if the church calls, you want to go there. But like you said, you've experienced some pretty small venues, some out of the way kind of places. Have you ever been pleasantly surprised? You're out in the middle of the brush and people come out of nowhere?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure Sherry and Brian can attest to this too. You know, you get to those places, especially years ago when I first started doing this, where the building was, you know, smaller than the bus that you were in, and you were thinking, man, this is going to be terrible. What are we doing out here? And sometimes those end up being the best services you can have. And it's almost like the Lord just saying, see, I'm telling you, I got you. You know, I'm taking care of you. You know, if you do what I'm telling you to do, and I've heard people say numerous times, I've heard Ernie say it, I've heard Karen Beck say it, you know, God just called us to sing. He didn't call us to sing the numbers. He'll take care of all that, you know, but he just called us to sing. And I think if you're faithful in the small things, of course, he's going to bless you with the bigger things. I'm thankful for that. He's shown that in my life. True.
Devin McGlamory, and sitting with Sherry Easter and Brian Hudson. Right now, the Kingsmen, where Brian was a member and led this song. A Daniel Britton Friends.
Weary, downtrodden believer, I know the burden reliever. He is the sinless redeemer. He's my best friend. I met him on bended knee. He met me at Calvary. Underneath an old rugged tree, that's where I've been. Now he dries every tear I cry. He answers when I ask why. He's every single little thing I need. He is faithful down to the end. He's closer than a brother's been. When I think about all he is, that's all I need. Christian, don't give up trying. Mountains were made for climbing. The one who walks beside me will stand by you. I've never known him to fail. He's conquered both death and hell. So do not doubt that he will prevail. I've seen what he can do. Now he dries every tear I cry. He answers when I ask why. He's every single little thing I need. He is faithful down to the end. He's closer than a brother's been. When I think
has every single little thing I need. He is faithful down to the end. He's closer than a brother's been. When I think about all he is, that's all I need. Now he dries every tear I cry. He answers when I ask why. He's every single little thing I need. He is faithful down to the end. He's closer than a brother's been. When I think about all he is, that's all I need. He's everything I need.
Devin McGlamory with us from Signature Sound Quartet. And Devin, you're still at the gym, and I know your time may be, the clock may be ticking for you yet, and we don't have to talk about who and even necessarily the subject matter, but I know that you've gotten, I don't know if you want to call it into trouble, but you've gone places with your thinking out loud or your mentioning of quotes that I think are brilliant quotes to make you think. I mean, you may not agree with them 100%, but they make you think. And I think that deserves some applause. But people come after you because they see you struggling with that quote out loud and assume that you've bought into it and have been totally convinced of it. Have you kind of get where I'm going?
I do. I've never been one that's been afraid of controversy. Because I think debate is healthy. It opens your eyes to different walks of life. It opens your eyes to different things. Another one of my favorite authors, and again, mentioning this name, chance of having stones thrown at me, is Rob Bell. He quoted, you know, in one of his books, I think it was Velvet Elvis, one of his first books, that truth is ours no matter where we find it. And I sat there and I read that line in that book over and over again, and it took me a minute to grasp what he was saying. The truth is ours no matter where we find it. And though people may not fully agree with that, they eventually have to, because truth is truth, regardless. Whether he goes on to say that Paul quotes the Christians in the Bible who aren't even followers of Christ, but truth is truth, no matter where you find it. You know, people, different religions and different walks of life teach different things that we may not all agree with. But sometimes there are things in their beliefs that you go, you know what? That's truth. That's truth right there. When a man talked to me the other day, he was really big into, you know, believing in Buddha and the teachings of Buddha, and we just discussed some things over coffee. And I asked him, I said, man, talk to me. Why? What is your biggest thing with that? He said, well, a lot like what you as a believer, as a follower of Christ believe. He said, the main teachings of Buddha that I concur with is that you cannot harbor unforgiveness in your life and live a good, prosperous life. I said, you know what? That's truth. Though it may be the teachings of Buddha, it's also the teachings of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to live a fruitful, faithful life, we cannot harbor unforgiveness in our life. And so I guess I'm not afraid to open up a controversial statement, not trying to argue with people, but I feel like we learn things from different walks of life. Because I know growing up in South Georgia, spending some time in Eastern North Carolina, when you stay in one place your whole life, you kind of get, not necessarily closed-minded, but that's the only statement that's coming to mind right now. You get locked into what you're taught your whole life. But when you see the world, and see that, and I've heard Ernie say this numerous times, finally see that God is not an American. And he laughs and he says, I'm pretty sure he's not even Baptist. But where we find that we have believers in other countries and other walks of life that may not necessarily agree 100% with what we agree with, but when it boils down to the end of the day, it's about loving people where they are and how they are, and that's what Jesus taught. Mm-hmm. True.
And I think that we so often want to put Jesus in this box, but, you know, yeah. Where the truth is, Jesus is there. If he is the truth, then where 2 + 2 = 4, Jesus is there.
Amen.
Well, Devin.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get on a little rant there. You just pushed the hot button with me.
I figured we'd go there.
Staring into the storm with the clouds turning black. And the wind's picking up. It feels like an attack of the powers of hell.
and I feel myself brace in the fear and the cold. But I've been here before, and I'll be just fine.
I'll be just fine.
I've been here before. The sign of the sea, and it made it divine. But I've lived long enough to know what to do. I'm gonna wait on the Lord, and I'll keep praying through, 'cause I just fine.
I'll be just fine.
I've been here before.
And signature sound, and Devin McGlamory is with us. Also, Brian Hudson of the Sold Out Quartet and Sherry Easter of Jeff and Sherry Easter. Now with another classic Jeff and Sherry song that fits today's topic, and that is quotables on Daniel Britt and Friends.
The battle is almost over. Your strength is almost gone. Don't you think it's time for you to come home?
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends with some guests. We've all brought some favorite quotes to the table and hashing those out. Brian Hudson of Sold Out Quartet, Devin McLamory of Signature Sound, and Sherry Easter. Let's get Brian Hudson because we gave him a softball. So, Brian, you've got some deeper stuff there in your arsenal, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think one of the greatest quotes, and this is kind of going along with, you know, not always agreeing with other believers, but the greatest quote, I saw this on Facebook not long ago, it said a lot of Christians think they have been appointed to be on the judgment seat when in truth we've been called to be on the witness stand.
Oh,
and I thought that was one of the greatest quotes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and, you know, you touched on something, Devin. I think a lot of closed-minded people, they want to pick out something that they don't struggle with. And they call that the worst sin. Well, you know, because I don't struggle with alcohol, I'm going to call alcohol the greatest sin there is. Or I'm going to call that out. I'm going to talk about that. But it's usually something that they've never struggled with. They've never had an issue with.
Right.
And so I think Christians, we want to judge people. And there again, that's one of my pet peeves. We want to judge people about things. And we've got our own stuff we need to deal with.
Yeah.
And but to cover that up or to not really shine a light on our sin or our struggles, we want to find another struggle that somebody else has that we don't struggle with. And that's God doesn't rate sin. Sin is sin to God. We want to put levels on it. Well, this is worse than this, and this is worse than that. So for me, we're called to be witnesses. We're called to share God's love. We're called to spread the gospel, to preach and sometimes use words, but we're called to be witnesses and not be judgmental. Let God do the judging. You know, He knows how I'm the last one that needs to be put in the judgment seat. So that was one of my favorite quotes. A lot of Christians think they have been appointed to be on the judgment seat when in truth we've been called to be on the witness seat.
And thank God we have people who can write, who are experienced, who have the expertise, who can look at a situation and maybe, you know, if you're talking about alcoholism, maybe that's not their thing, that's not their issue, and we need those kind of people there who can be a resource to those who do struggle. But as a friend of mine says, Christian authors, there should be a requirement at the beginning of a book written by any Christian author to confess your three greatest sins in the introduction before reading the rest of the book, because while that may not be their issue, we all are broken in some places and in most of us in multiple places. And that's where we can relate, I think. And that's good, Brian.
Yeah.
All right, Sherry, you live with Jeff Easter. Do you? And I can
follow that through that statement right there.
Yeah. And on a bus with Jeff and your kids and Rigby and the dog and everything, I can imagine there can be some spirited debate, and even just with Madison. I mean, and as you've talked about already. So, what's the next quote that you have? And as you give that to us, we'll be thinking about how this might be discussed on the Easter bus.
Well, actually, what's funny is on the Easter bus, we've got a lot of people who just like to listen, but I like to debate, and Madison likes to argue.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because I'm the one doing the interview.
That's right.
That's great.
No, but in reality, I do. Jeff has always teased me. He said, you are quick to have an opinion. But one thing he will go beyond that is I've never forced my opinion on anybody else, because I'm like Devin and like Brian both pointed out. It's nice to be challenged on your way of thinking, you know, because it makes you see things through a different light. And though this is not anything that we would ever argue on the Easter bus, this is the one scripture that has carried me through since I was 15 years old, and I just turned 49 last Saturday. But I found myself, no matter what I'm going through, going back to Isaiah 40:31, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I use that one because there's so many times that, you know, we struggle with different things, you know, whether they be inconveniences or whether they be really the tough stuff of life. And the thing of it is, when we can trust God enough to wait on Him, either in the literal sense of being patient and waiting, or either in the sense that I heard a pastor preach at one time, in the servanthood of waiting on Him, you know, and serving Him. So either way you want to take that scripture, I think it's beneficial to our everyday life. And there's so many times that I literally quote that to myself, because, you know, I'm a fixer and I am a control freak. I don't like to be the boss. I am a leader by default. Only if everybody else in the bus says I don't want to lead, that's when Sherry leads. But I am a control freak as far as making sure that things get done, making sure they get done correctly, making sure you have on clean clothes, making sure that you know, this is done, that is done, this is not neglected, you know, whereas Jeff's much more of a free spirit. So there's a lot of things that I control, but when it gets right down to a solid decision, I'm usually the one who doesn't want that place unless nobody else wants to take it. Because I just feel like so many times that if you spread yourself so thinly, that you're not going to be effective at anything. So on our bus, there's really not a whole lot of disagreement and a whole lot of theological arguments. Politics have been very interesting this past year, so we've had conversations about that. And then just everyday life. I will say one thing that the Easter bus agrees on is we don't like a lot of talk. We like a lot of walk. And we heard Woody Wright, he wrote a song a couple of weeks ago and sang it, "Light Doesn't Make a Sound," which goes along with what Brian said. You know, if we are to be a light for Christ, we don't have to necessarily say that. Mm. You know, we ought to live it, because light doesn't make a sound.
Wow.
So I think we strive every day as a family and as people to be a witness, to be able to use our music for what it's planned for. We try never to use our platform for any other purpose than just to deliver encouraging music. That's what we are about. And so whenever I go through the tough times and the, oh my goodness, I don't know how we're going to get through this, I just remember, you know, wait on God. You know, he's going to have to lead. He's going to have to carry me and let me soar on wings of eagles. So that's the one that carries me.
And Woody Wright just wrote that?
He did. He sang it a couple of weeks ago in Louisville, and the title of the song was "Light Doesn't Make a Sound," and in it, he used the quote that Brian mentioned about how, you know, use words if necessary.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Win people over to Christ and use words if necessary.
And everybody on this call is wondering who's going to be the first to record that song.
It really is a great song. It really is.
Well, here it is. Woody Wright, the song he wrote, "Light Doesn't Make a Sound," on Daniel Britt and Friends.
You don't have to speak with great ability. You don't have to sing or shout or preach or cry. There's no need to make your point with style or eloquence, or to flawlessly debate the how and why. Jesus told us how to spread the good news. The most effective way to break the barriers down is to demonstrate his love to all who see us. Because light doesn't make a sound. No light doesn't make a sound. In a world that's filled with gloom and sadness, crooked, perverted, and unkind, we must appear to be harmless and blameless, illuminating hope by letting our light shine. Smallest candle drives away the darkness. A tiny spark can cause a raging blaze. A flash can take the shadow from the picture, and the moon reflects the sun in every face. So when you think that you can't be a witness, or find the words to bring someone around, just remember folks are watching your example, and that light doesn't make a sound. No light doesn't make a sound. Light doesn't make a sound.
This is Daniel Britt and Friends. That's Woody Wright. And today we're sitting with Brian Hudson of the Sold Out Quartet, Sherry Easter, and Devin McLamory of Ernie Hudson's Signature Sound. Now here is Sold Out featuring Brian Hudson.
Life is sweeter to me since Jesus came and rescued me from the sinful man I used to be. I've been redeemed. My life has been changed. My outlook has been rearranged. Free from the guilt and shame since I've been saved. I'm walking different now. I'm talking different now. I'm a new creature. Are passed away. New things are coming my way. I am no longer the same since I've been saved. Thank you. are passed away. New things are coming my way. I am no longer the same since I've been saved.
Wow, guys, I appreciate this. And yeah, in such a year, we've had so much that could divide us, either theologically or politically or whatever. I mean, I'm reminded of a quote. I heard Buddy Green just yesterday quoting from a book by author Steve Brown. It's a short trip from conviction to self-righteousness. And I think that's key with what you just said.
And it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, we'll go around, Robin, and say goodbye. And Sherry, you give us the ways we can stay in touch with the Easters and get Easter music and follow you guys on social media and all that.
You know what? We are kind of everywhere. So you can visit us on our website, JessAndSherry.com. JessAndSherryEaster.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Sherry Easter. Madison's at Maddie Fatty. Morgan's at Morgan Easter. And Jeff's at Amos Easter, because somebody else had already stolen Jeff. So he's at Amos Easter. And then Jeff loves to do social cam. All of us do social cam from time to time. And we have a Facebook. Jeff and Sherry Easter band page is the one every one of us in our group actually goes to the Jeff and Sherry Facebook page and reads the comments from people and makes comments every now and then. But that's the one that we faithfully watch. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, that's how you do it.
And Sold Out Quartet and Brian Hudson?
Yeah, well, soldoutquartet.com, SOULDOUT, soldoutquartet.com. You can check us out there, all of our tour dates and everything. We also have a fan page, Sold Out Quartet fan page. Also, I have my personal fan page. I'm on Facebook. I don't do a whole lot of Twitter. I know Ray Dean Reese always calls it Tweeter, but it is Twitter. So he said, I don't like that Facebook and I don't like that Tweeter stuff. But you can follow me on the fan page. My wife and I, Yvonne, we also we have a WordPress. It's called Journey with Brian and Y, and you can follow us there. We write blogs on occasion, and we have a WordPress site, and you can get on the fan page of Brian Hudson or the Sold Out fan page. And we just thank you so much for having me in today, and it's been a pleasure. And good to talk to Devin and Sherry. I've known both of them for years and years and years. We won't say how long, but everything. So
yeah,
it's been great.
And the writing that Brian and Yvonne do is simply great. So good job there. And Devin with Signature Sound.
Yeah, there's a million ways to get to our site, but probably the easiest way is just ErnieHaas.com, and all the social media sites are there. The guys have everybody has their individual ones, and where you can follow with our families and our workouts and all that stuff. Of course, social cam. And now I think I'm the opposite of Brian, where I'm more Twitter based than Facebook. I'm really bad about checking my Facebook. Connect with us through all those sites and email the office and they'll forward them to us. So, cool. But man, this has been great. It's just been a great little roundtable here. We've had a great time. I love this discussion.
Thanks, guys. And the music we've heard during this show has been outstanding from all three groups and artists, respectively. So thanks again. And keep retweeting and keep journaling those quotes, because I think we all love them and can learn from them.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel.
You guys have a great day, all right?
All right, take care.
Take care, y'all too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
been listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern Gospel. You can hear many of the interviews, again, online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.